When it comes to IBS, there's so many things out there that, say that they're going to cure or help your IBS, including things like probiotics. And if you're here on the podcast, you probably have already tried a lot of those things, including probiotics, and you're still not feeling well. So you're feeling frustrated. You probably have already tried, gut-friendly diets, maybe gluten-free or low FODMAP, and you're just at a loss. And the thing that you need to know is that IBS is not a life sentence or any kind of chronic gut issue. There is always an underlying cause. Today, we're going to dive into the most common underlying root cause of IBS and what that means for your healing journey and the reasons that you're stuck. You're stuck with chronic constipation and bloating, reactions to food sensitivities and brain fog, chronic fatigue, mood disturbances. All of this is linked to your gut and your gut bacteria called your microbiome. Today, we're going to dive into something where this condition actually is a shift in your gut microbiome or the bacteria and other microbes that live in there. And when this shift happens, it actually causes IBS symptoms. So this is fairly new science, and so doctors and other practitioners aren't yet aware of this or using this, but there is a lot of research on it and something called SIBO. Today, this episode, we're going to focus on SIBO, which is small intestine bacterial overgrowth, what it is, how you get it, how to heal it, and how ultimately this is the number one root cause of a lot of IBS cases. So there is hope to heal and feel better, and you don't have to struggle with symptoms or a restricted diet the rest of your life. So I'm so excited to share this information with you and to get you, fast forwarding your healing journey and feeling better as soon as possible. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Fix Your Gut podcast. A podcast that empowers you to understand why you have gut issues and what to do about it. After over 20 years of suffering with IBS, migraines, and chronic fatigue, I decided to take matters into my own hands and I became a nutritionist so I could not only heal myself, but heal others that were struggling like me. Odds are you're here because you're stuck. Your doctor couldn't help, and you've already tried cutting out foods and probiotics. So now what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You can heal your gut. We're going to go beyond diet and supplements to empower you with the knowledge you need to achieve deep, lasting healing and finally enjoy food again and get your life back. Okay, I am super excited to dive into this episode because this is a critical foundational piece of what I do with clients and one of the biggest causes that I see for chronic IBS type symptoms. So even if you haven't been told by your doctor that you have IBS, and I'm not saying diagnosed IBS because in reality, IBS is not a real diagnosis. If someone has told you that you have IBS, they're basically saying, we don't know why you have symptoms, but you do, and we can't really do anything about it, which is not the truth. So you're going to get some hope from this episode. But what I want you to know is there's always a root cause of these symptoms. And one of the most common root causes is something called SIBO, which stands for small intestine bacterial overgrowth. What the heck does that mean? We're going to back up a bit and talk a bit more about your gut bacteria to help you understand what's going on in there and how this imbalance in your gut can cause this SIBO, which shows up as IBS symptoms. Okay. So, what is the gut microbiome? You may have heard of this term of the microbiome. It's basically an ecosystem of bacteria, yeast, parasites, viruses, all kinds of little guys that live in your gut. And actually, all throughout your body, you actually have bacteria and, separate types of microbiomes all throughout your body. It's not just your gut, but for today, we're going to focus on your gut. And these bacteria are very important. There's actually more of them than there are of human cells. And they do so many things for us. So they help us with digestion. They help balance our immune system. They keep our gut lining healthy so we can digest and optimally absorb our food. They prevent us from getting infections, and they actually produce some vitamins. But this gut ecosystem, we're going to call it kind of an ecosystem, much like any ecosystem in nature, if one thing shifts, it doesn't take much to really throw it out of balance and start developing symptoms and illness. But the great thing about the gut microbiome is it can be quite resilient, and with very small, you know, dietary changes, lifestyle changes, we can see a big shift in a positive direction within a matter of a few days. So what you need to know is, yes, there are healthy bacteria and microbes in there, and there are also some quote unquote bad or inflammatory bacteria in there. But some of the bad guys, or what we would consider bad guys, like E. coli, they're actually necessary for our body. But they are kept in check in lower levels by the healthy bacteria. So they kind of keep things in balance. And healthy bacteria need fiber as food. That is the food that keeps them growing and keeps them healthy, so that we can have more of the good guys balancing things out and keeping us healthy. So a lot of people that try, you know, low fiber diets to help with their IBS symptoms, they may feel symptom relief initially, but they're actually triggering long-term inflammation and more health problems. The other side of the coin being people that are eating more Western type diet. So we call it the SAD diet, which is high in processed foods and sugar and very low in fruits, vegetables, and fibers. That actually feeds the bad bacteria and other microbes in the gut, and it causes more of this imbalance where we have too much of the inflammatory bacteria and not enough good guys. This imbalance is called dysbiosis. And dysbiosis is a general term. It doesn't necessarily mean too much bad bacteria. It can also refer to too little good bacteria, which can happen after an antibiotic, or even too much good bacteria just in the wrong place. So we need to have most of our gut bacteria in our large intestine and colon. That's where it's supposed to be. That's where it does its job. In comparison, in our upper gut, just past our stomach, your small intestine, it should have very little bacteria compared to your large intestine. And it's actually designed that way so that we can optimize digestion, because your small intestine is where digestion and absorption takes place. So when you have too much bacteria in your small intestine, this causes a lot of inflammation and issues. And this is called SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And this can develop from many factors. So things like low stomach acid, which is common with chronic stress, as stress shuts down digestion, including acid production, or long-term antacid medications for someone who has heartburn, chronic constipation, frequent use of antibiotics, poor diet, so high in carbs and sugar, as I mentioned, and lower in fiber, fruits, and vegetables, and other things like abdominal surgeries, concussions, trauma, whether it's physical or emotional, and autoimmune diseases. There's so many factors that can set you up for developing this SIBO of having too much bacteria in your small intestine. And people that have SIBO tend to have upper gut symptoms. So lots of burping and belching after meals, bad breath. They're having bloating and feeling full after only a small amount of food, maybe pain and pressure up under your right rib cage. And often lots of fatigue as well. So why are all these symptoms happening? What's the big deal if we have too much bacteria in that small intestine? So as I said earlier, your small intestine is where most of your absorption takes place. In order for your small intestine to be healthy and functioning properly, it needs to be free of inflammation, which means very little bacteria because it's not designed to house bacteria. And when it's healthy and free of inflammation, you can produce lots of digestive enzymes. Enzymes help break down and digest our food, and they're produced by your gut lining in your small intestine. There's also some in your stomach and some that come from your pancreas. And this is also where bile, which comes from your gallbladder, is released into your small intestine to help you digest and absorb fats. So a lot of people with SIBO have trouble with foods or meals that have a lot of fat in them. And you may also notice symptoms of fat malabsorption in your stool, which would look like kind of a greasy, oily toilet bowl, or your stool is sticking to the toilet bowl. So those are signs of fat malabsorption. But your body is naturally designed to keep this bacteria from growing out of control in your small intestine. Two of the ways in which it does that is stomach acid and bile. So both of these are considered bacteriostatic, which means they keep bacteria at bay. They keep things under control. But what can happen when we have low stomach acid, which is incredibly common from chronic stress and or the use of antacids, other factors include autoimmune diseases. So your body attacking the cells in your stomach that make stomach acid, although less common. And then issues with your liver, gallbladder. So people that end up developing, not necessarily just gallstones, but anyone who has a sluggish gallbladder or they just feel unwell after eating fatty foods, you don't have to have gallstones to have gallbladder dysfunction. A lot of women that have taken birth control have issues with their gallbladder. A lot of people that have SIBO actually develop gallbladder issues. So these things are there naturally to keep this bacteria under control and also, of course, optimize on and, you know, allow us to digest and absorb our food. Now, bear with me as we go through some of this science, and then we'll move into more of what we can do about SIBO and how you can feel better. And before I dive into any more, I just want to make it clear that a lot of you I know really struggle with bloating. Bloating is a huge issue for a lot of people with these IBS type symptoms. And know that bloating, and especially, you know, after meals, even small meals, and feeling uncomfortable, that's really a common sign of SIBO. Now, the other thing we have to touch on is called the migrating motor complex. This is something kind of like a street sweeper that goes through your small intestine between meals. So this is where it's really important if you have some of these symptoms that you're not constantly grazing throughout the day. It's important to have meals and space them out by at least a few hours to allow this street sweeper migrating motor complex, or MMC for short, to kind of go through and clear and heal the small intestine in between meals. But this MMC can, you know, it's very important to keep things moving and healthy in the gut. It can easily be damaged by many things, including viruses, food poisoning, traveler's diarrhea, infections, toxins from bad bacteria, concussions, and anything that damages the central nervous system, including trauma. So as you can see, there's many things that can go wrong that can predispose us to developing SIBO, which is, you know, causing these IBS symptoms. And how do you know if you have SIBO? Well, I can't say for sure without seeing you as a client and knowing everything that's going on with your body as well as your health history, but you are at higher risk for SIBO if you have used antibiotics often in your past, you've ever been on an antacid medication, you've ever had food poisoning or traveler's diarrhea, you've had a bad virus like mono, you have chronic constipation, you have a really poor diet, even if you've switched your diet, but you used to eat a poor diet that's high in carbs and sugar and processed foods and low in fiber. And very importantly, if you are burnt out or have chronic stress, which is pretty much everyone these days, this kind of shuts down digestion, as I mentioned, lowers your stomach acid, causes more constipation, dysregulates your nervous system, and sets up the perfect scene for you developing SIBO. So why is SIBO an issue? We talked about, you know, most of this bacteria needs to be in your large intestines. So what's a big deal if you have a little bit of burping or bloating? Can't you just take, you know, maybe a supplement to deal with that? Sure, you could. But if we don't actually get rid of the SIBO, it can cause other health issues. So it's not just the symptoms that you're dealing with. You're actually going to be not absorbing your food very well. So even if you're eating a super healthy diet, you're not going to be absorbing those healthy nutrients, minerals, and vitamins. You're going to be tired and sluggish. And then the most important thing is, not that most of us tend to look at the long-term game, but especially if you have someone in your family that has, you know, diabetes or an autoimmune disease or some kind of chronic condition that you're worried about getting, know that having SIBO or any kind of dysbiosis or imbalance in your gut bacteria long-term sets you up for developing other illnesses, because this is chronic inflammation in the gut, right? So that can cause liver gallbladder issues, pancreas issues, autoimmune conditions, whether that's IBD like Crohn's and colitis, or even other autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis. You can also end up having it affect your mental health because we know the gut and the brain are directly connected. So any inflammation that's happening in the gut does not stay in the gut. It actually travels through your whole body and sometimes can even cross the blood-brain barrier and enter your brain. And one of the most recent known causes of things like depression and anxiety is inflammation. So what do we do about it? How do we know if we have SIBO for sure? And how do we treat it? With SIBO, we need to use a breath test. So a breath test is something, there's a couple different kinds. Basically, you're drinking a sugar solution, then you're breathing into a couple tubes, and then those tubes are sent off to a lab. The lab is measuring what gases are produced when you're breathing into the tube. So there's three main types of SIBO. There's one where you're producing hydrogen gas, so that would be hydrogen dominant SIBO. These people tend to experience diarrhea more often. There is one where you're producing a lot of methane gas. So if you're methane dominant, these people tend to experience constipation. And then there's a newer one they've recently found called hydrogen sulfide dominant. And these people tend to have alternating constipation diarrhea. So this is the main way in which we measure and test for SIBO. I don't usually often use this test myself. I more often use what's called the GI map test. And this test is also helpful, although it's not the first one to go to for SIBO, but especially if I have clients that have more lower gut issues. I use the GI map, which is a stool test, and it's a PCR genetic test. What's looking for genetic fragments of certain bacteria and microbes. And it does tell me exactly which bacteria you have and in which numbers. And that gives me a really good idea of whether you have SIBO, because there are actually specific bacteria that have this kind of this pattern or this phenotype of SIBO. So if you have high numbers of these specific bacteria, what I'm looking for, that's going to tell me you're more likely to have SIBO. Whereas if you have high numbers of other microbes, that just means to me you have more of a dysbiosis or imbalance, right? And I also go based on your symptoms as well. So if I were to do a GI map with someone who is having symptoms and, you know, say they're having constipation, and then we also find out from their GI map that they have high levels of what's called methanogens, I'm going to really attack those methanogen microbes with things like garlic, which are really good, which really is good at killing methanogens. And methanogens cause constipation. They can actually cause weight gain as well. And we have to use very specific antibacterial supplements depending on what type of bacteria it is. So this is where SIBO and dysbiosis is very complex and it's very individual. We can't just throw any old supplement at it. You know, the more you learn, you're probably like, oh, I can just go take some oil of oregano. That has antibacterial properties. And sure, that might help, but which bacteria do you have? Is it killing what we need to kill? Or maybe we don't need to kill anything at all and you have really low levels of healthy bacteria. That's called insufficiency dysbiosis. So basically a lot of people that have taken a lot of antibiotics, and especially if they've had a low fiber diet, they may not have too much bad bacteria, but they may have very little good bacteria. And that's a problem too. And if these people were to self-prescribe themselves something like oil of oregano, they're going to be doing more harm than good, right? Because sure, they may have symptoms like another person has, that other person might have too much bad bacteria, but that person needs to kill, whereas the person that doesn't have enough good bacteria needs to focus on rebuilding their gut microbiome. So instead of killing bacteria, we're going to be rebuilding and helping promote the growth of healthy bacteria. And that is actually the final stage in SIBO treatment. So I'm going to back up and go through how I help clients with SIBO. On my gut healing journey, I had tried everything from the extreme gut healing diets and cleanses, handfuls of supplements, and I still was struggling with symptoms after decades of trying to heal. I wish someone had told me earlier that it was fear that was keeping me stuck. Let me explain. A few years back, I had hit a really low point and I had made a few newer friends who were into more kind of woo-woo things like meditation, breathwork, qigong, and mindfulness practices. Stuff that as a sciencey person, I used to think was just complete baloney, but there is science to it. And the more I hung out with them and started to open my mind to trying some of these practices, and the more I started to regularly incorporate them into my daily routine, the better I felt. It was actually helping me heal, and my energy came back, my gut got better, I started tolerating more foods, had less bloating, I even started sleeping better, I was happier and way less anxious. I started to feel like myself again for the first time in maybe decades. But looking back now, I realized the real reason I was stuck with my gut healing for so long was because my body was stuck in survival mode. The burnout that I had put myself through between school and working three jobs and starting a business and like a lot of other significant life changes caused real physical changes in my gut, including my gut microbiome. And yes, that needed to be addressed. So, you know, doing all the things with diet and supplements, but doing that alone just wasn't enough for me to feel better. In order to really heal, I had to add on those daily healthy habits and nervous system practices that allowed me to shift my body out of a survival mode and into what I call a rest and digest or healing state. And that is where the magic happened. From there, my healing took off and I have been feeling so much better than I ever have before. And it happened quite quickly too. So I want to share my story to highlight a truth that many other gut healing practitioners just simply don't address. That gut healing is not as simple as just fixating on healing the gut itself with diet and supplements. It actually requires a whole mind-body approach. And the thing is that gut healing, you know, it requires healthy habits and actual long-term sustainable change. It's not meant to be a short-term diet, cleanse, or reset. And building these healthy habits actually takes time. And like other habits, it can be hard, right? So this is the number one reason that people get stuck and frustrated with gut healing, because change is hard and we have to change quite a bit of our habits and lifestyle. So this is when it came to me that, you know, doing sessions one-on-one with people wasn't quite enough. I realized that I needed to put something together that would like give people daily motivation, engagement, and encouragement to remind them to check in with their body and slowly build these healthy habits, including nervous system regulation habits that were going to allow them to heal their gut faster so they could actually break free of that chronic bloating and gut issues and those restrictive diets and get their life back. So something that I decided to add into my existing course, the Fix Your Gut Formula, before I make a special announcement, kind of going back to my signature program, the Fix Your Gut Formula, originally started out as, you know, okay, a step-by-step guide to healing your gut by focusing on the four R's of gut healing, very specific changes we make with diet and supplements, and some lifestyle things like sleep and stress to help you, you know, balance out your gut, especially your gut microbiome. But I realized the longer I worked with people that I needed to start adding more to that program. So I started adding more videos and content on the mind-body connection, including mindset, mental health, and other nervous system practices like deep breathing and yoga. Because I realized that to truly heal your gut, you have to find balance, and not just balance with, you know, the things you're eating, but with your mind and your body, and kind of learning to tune into and listen to and honor your body's needs. So you can really shift out of that survival mode and into a healing state. So when I had these practices in there, I noticed that people were getting a lot more out of the program. And so the whole point of that program was to really inspire people to make these long-term sustainable changes, not just with their diet and specific supplements, but changing certain things about their lifestyle that allows them to heal faster and get off the restrictive diets and finally get rid of bloating. So fast track another year or so, and I'm realizing that while this course, the Fix Your Gut Formula, has been really helpful for a lot of my clients, a lot of them will purchase it and then they just don't end up using it. And that's because, you know, you have the best intentions, you want to eat better, you want to heal your gut, but life happens sometimes. And, you know, you're doing well, and maybe you quote unquote fall off the wagon, or you just forget about the course, you don't have time, or you're feeling too stressed. You have the best intentions, but you just don't get around to it. And I see this all the time with my clients. They're doing so well, and then something happens, you know, a loved one gets sick, or they get sick, and they kind of fall off the wagon. And then they get stuck in this vicious cycle of they're not sleeping well, they have more anxiety, they're craving more carbs, they're just not doing the things, and they're more tired, and they're not cooking. They're not doing the things that are foundational habits to keep them moving forward with their gut healing. And so their gut symptoms come back, or they worsen, and they start to blame the food. But really, there's so much more going on as to why they're reaching for these comfort foods. So I realized in working with people that we need something that's more than just a course. We need an app, because apps are what we use day to day that keep us engaged, right? They send us notifications. They're prompting us to check in and see what the latest updates are. It's prompting us to like learn and log in and use these modules and these resources that are there for us. So that's when I realized I needed to build an app. And I am putting together the Fix Your Gut app. It's going to be coming out 2024. And so I wanted to share with you a very exclusive promotion. If you purchase the Fix Your Gut formula, my signature program, before February 10th, you will get free access to the new Fix Your Gut app once it is launched in 2024. Stay tuned for the date. And I have some really exciting new features. So yes, you get all of the features of the course inside the app, but you also get symptom tracking, discussion boards, and a chance to do one-on-one messaging coaching with myself. But the most exciting thing is my friend Linda Stiludi is going to be joining me, and she is a gut-centered hypnotherapist. I know that sounds a little woo-woo, but if you research gut-centered hypnotherapy, and there's certain apps that are already out there that are focused on this, because there is so much clinical evidence and proof that it helps by helping to regulate the gut-brain connection, it's very, very effective. So I'm really excited for her to be putting some gut-centered hypnotherapy lessons on there, but we're also going to be adding some daily affirmations and other amazing tools from Linda as well. So a reminder that if you do purchase the Fix Your Gut formula before February 10th, you will get free access to the app when it launches. And I'm really, really excited for you to check it out. I've designed this program to include the crucial missing link that so many practitioners and programs miss: the mind-body connection and the important regulating of your nervous system. So if you're ready to take charge of your health, get your body back, stop fearing food, and feel confident and sexy in your skin, then it's time to join us inside the Fix Your Gut formula. Take advantage of our New Year's sale, 25% off, but only until January 13th. Link is in the show notes. To get rid of their IBS type symptoms by treating this root cause. Now, again, when we treat SIBO, it's not as simple as just kind of killing the bacteria and balancing the microbiome. I mean, that in itself is not simple, but we have to figure out, why do you have SIBO in the first place? Have you had some trauma and your nervous system is dysregulated? Are you burnt out? Because we can do all the supplements and the diets, but if we're not addressing every single one of the factors that caused you to get SIBO in the first place, you're not going to heal, right? So if you're doing all the supplements and diets, but you're burnt out and you're not resting, you're not going to heal. Or you may heal a little bit, but you're never going to quite fully heal. This is where it's really important to work with a practitioner and get a personalized protocol, as well as some accountability and guidance and support to help you stay on track and to reach your gut healing goals, because it's not simple. And it's also not an overnight thing. So when you go into treating something like this, you have to keep in mind that this may have developed over years or even decades, especially if you're someone who's had, you know, chronic constipation, or you've taken like many antibiotics starting when you were a kid. It's been going on for probably decades. You can't expect this to heal overnight, right? As much as our society is very much, you know, we want that pill, we want to feel better right away. And I understand that, you have to give your body time to heal. And that's where I work with people to really build these foundational healthy habits that allow your body to heal and support them when they're feeling frustrated and stuck. Because having gone through this myself, I understand how frustrating it is to feel like you're doing everything right, but nothing is moving on the needle. You just feel like your symptoms are the same, but you're plugging along every day trying to eat well and take your supplements and do all the right things, but you're not seeing progress. The interesting thing is you may still be healing, and you probably are still healing, especially if you're doing all of these, you know, healing modalities, but sometimes you don't notice changes in your symptoms for a while, right? And then all of a sudden you'll feel really good. So it's really just having faith in your body's ability to heal and the process of healing, which does take time. Okay, so back to how we actually treat SIBO. So if I have tested someone for SIBO, it comes positive, or if we decide not to test and instead go based on symptoms and my clinical judgment, first of all, you need to know that there are some doctors and gastroenterologists that will prescribe antibiotics specifically for SIBO, such as rifaximin. And while these antibiotics can be quite helpful and can kind of fast forward the process, many people have actually gone through several rounds of these antibiotics and they still aren't feeling well. And that's often because they're relying on the antibiotic only to heal them, right? If they're working with a medical practitioner, odds are they've been given the prescription, they haven't been given any guidance on dietary changes, stress management, other things they can do to help themselves heal, right? So we're not just strictly focused on killing that bacteria overgrowth in your small intestine, but we also want to look at those root causes. So is one of your root causes that you have low stomach acid? If so, we need to get you on a high quality digestive enzyme that has acid in it, and not just any old one from the health food store. Is one of your issues that you have a poorly functioning gallbladder and you're not absorbing any fat? Then we need to support your liver and gallbladder with certain herbs and other enzymes and digestive bitters to help you, help your gallbladder work more efficiently and thin out and optimize your bile production and release. Are you chronically constipated? So that could be due to this dysbiosis, this bacteria imbalance itself, but that could also be due to stress. It could be due to structural issues like scar tissue from surgeries or childbirth. Could it be due to medications? So interestingly, a lot of medications can cause or worsen gut issues, including things like obviously the antacids we talked about, but even antidepressants. So disclaimer here, I don't want anyone to ever go off their medication without speaking with their doctor. But just knowing this empowerment piece, right? Knowing what side effects your medication can cause, and while it is important for your health, knowing that it may kind of prevent you from healing or healing as quickly as you would like. And then the other one that's really big is painkillers. If you are someone who takes a lot of over-the-counter or even prescription painkillers, so things like Advil, Tylenol, Aleve, know that these do real damage to your gut and can cause something called leaky gut, where you're damaging your gut cells and allowing things to leak into your bloodstream that should not be there. So odds are you probably have a lot of systemic issues, including food sensitivities, inflammation, brain fog, fatigue. Ultimately, there are many ways to manage pain. And while once in a while a painkiller might be necessary, it's really important that you don't rely on these and take them very often, because they are going to trigger more gut inflammation and more issues and prevent you from fully healing. So let's dive into the protocol that I use with clients to heal their gut. And keep in mind that this protocol is personalized to every single person based on, you know, their health history, their current health issues, whether they have other conditions, whether they're on medications, what their lifestyle is like. And I always work together with my client to achieve a protocol and a plan that is doable for them where they are now. Because I totally understand that everyone has different levels of ability to commit to certain health changes, right? It can be overwhelming to try to change your diet when you have a busy lifestyle. Maybe you're working a lot, or you have kids, or, you know, aging parents. So together we build a protocol or a plan that is doable for you and using small steps. And when you want to speed it up and take on more, we can do that. But I want to make it doable for you, because otherwise a lot of people get overwhelmed and discouraged. And a lot of people tend to have this mindset where it's all or nothing, right? So either they're on the wagon or they're off the wagon. This kind of perfectionistic tendency to, you know, I have to do everything right, exactly how she told me. Otherwise, what's the point? I might as well just eat what I want and give up. We have to keep that mindset piece in mind as you go through your healing journey, because there will be times when you can't eat optimally. There will be times that you're going to indulge, because you're only human. Life happens, and we deserve to treat ourselves, right? So having that mindset ability to say, hey, maybe I didn't eat perfectly today, but that's okay. I enjoyed myself. I had my nephew's birthday party or whatever it was. And tomorrow I'm going to eat a little better to kind of balance it out and get back to my healthy diet, right? So I don't want anyone to ever feel like their healing plan is something that's too restrictive or that needs to be all or nothing. It's very much giving yourself permission to have that wiggle room to enjoy food and enjoy life. Because being a foodie myself, I get it, right? Like, I love baking, I love my treats, and it's human psychology. If you think about it, same thing with a child, right? If you tell a child you can play with any of these toys except this one, what are they gonna want? They're gonna want the one toy that they were told they can't have. Same thing with adults. I'm sure you've probably been on some kind of crazy diet in the past where, like, okay, you can eat whatever you want, but you're not allowed any refined sugar. So all you can think about is refined sugar. You want gummies, you want chocolate, you want all the things that you are told you're not allowed to have. Maybe you end up being good, quote unquote, for a week or two, and then you have a day where you're super tired and stressed, and then you binge on sugar. So what's the point? How does that help your healing if you're, you know, being so strict for so long and then you end up binging? It's better and more sustainable to have a treat here and there every day if you want, and have it in moderation and allow yourself the permission to have these things, right? So with my clients, okay, before I dive into sugar specifically, I'm going to go through this four-step protocol. It's called the 4R protocol that I use and that most functional practitioners like naturopaths and other holistic practitioners use to heal the gut. So step one is remove. We're removing any inflammatory foods. So typically this includes gluten, processed foods, anything that you have a known sensitivity or allergy to, excess sugars as well. We're removing gut irritants, like we talked about, you know, things like painkillers and other over-the-counter medications, excess caffeine, especially on an empty stomach, and excess alcohol. Then we're also removing the bacterial overgrowth with specific antibacterial supplements. So again, this is personalized to the person based on what my test shows that they have. So if my test is telling me you have mostly, you know, too much candida yeast, I'm going to use specific supplements that kill candida yeast rather than others. If my test tells me you have too much methanogens, which are the microbes that cause constipation and weight gain, I'm going to use specific supplements that kill methanogens, right? So it needs to be very specific. In this phase, I also encourage people to, like I said, with the inflammatory foods. So sugar is naturally inflammatory because it feeds unhealthy gut bacteria, and the gut inflammation is usually the root of all inflammation in the body. That being said, again, if we tell ourselves sugar is off limits, what's going to happen? You're going to end up binging. So I usually give my clients a goal of around 25 grams of added sugar per day. That does not include fruit. So you can have your fruit, and then if you want, you can have a treat that has up to about 25 grams of extra sugar. Okay? You don't have to, obviously, but it gives you that wiggle room to enjoy yourself. The second stage is called replace. In this stage, we're replacing things that are missing from your body and that could have contributed to your development of SIBO and these IBS type symptoms. So like I said, if you have a poor diet or low stomach acid and bile, you probably have nutrient deficiencies. Common nutrient deficiencies in people that have gut issues are things like B12, calcium, vitamin D, iron, magnesium, and then especially in those that have liver gallbladder issues and you see this like fat malabsorption in your stool, you don't absorb fat-soluble vitamins very well. So that would be A, D, E, and K. So we're replacing those nutrient deficiencies, and often people find quite a difference there as, you know, they've probably been deficient for so long. And a lot of these nutrient deficiencies are really important for mental health and building healthy hormones, as well as energy. So a lot of people experience a mood boost and an energy boost, even just a simple change in diet. So I would prescribe more foods that are high in these nutrients, as well as sometimes supplementation. And then the next thing would be stomach acid. So most people with SIBO are low in stomach acid, and that can be supplemented usually together with an enzyme. So most people that are not absorbing things well with SIBO, I would give them a broad spectrum enzyme that includes stomach acid, which is usually listed as betaine hydrochloride or HCl. And if they aren't vegetarian or vegan, I would also include one that has pancreatic enzymes or ox bile. So obviously these are derived from animals. Very, very effective in helping to support your body in digesting and absorbing your food. But they can also be quite potent. And people that have gastritis or chronic stomach pain or other chronic conditions may find them a little too potent. So those are people where I would back off and use a more gentle digestive enzyme and or a bitters. So with digestive bitters, they are quite bitter. So they're not ideal for everyone, but I do really love that not only do they stimulate the production of stomach acid and bile, but they also support liver detox. So if you're someone who is trying to detoxify, you know, maybe you used to eat a pretty poor diet, or you're having you've had a lot of medications or other things where you need to detoxify, it's really great for that. Now, moving on to repair. This is the phase where there's many things that need to be addressed. So number one is motility. Number two is healing the gut lining, especially if you have leaky gut. And number three is supporting the functioning of the liver and gallbladder. So we just talked about those bitters, but there's other specific herbs that can support that as well. Now, before I dive into these, I want to just say that usually by this phase of the protocol, so maybe a month or two in, we are able to start trying to add foods back in. So I'll back up and explain that initially when we are starting out in the first phase, a lot of people just aren't tolerating many foods. So either a lot of people are reacting to gluten and dairy, which are the two biggest ones, which I tried to get people to avoid, at least for the first month. But also things called FODMAPs. So FODMAPs are fermentable carbs, and your gut bacteria take them and ferment them, which causes gas, bloating, and pain for some people. But foods that are high in FODMAPs are actually really healthy foods. And in people that have optimal gut function, they may have a little bit of extra gas, but ultimately it's not a problem. So I do use the low FODMAP diet temporarily while we do the 4-hour protocol to help manage symptoms, because it can be quite debilitating. So high FODMAP foods that some people may find troublesome if they're having this dysbiosis or SIBO are things like wheat, dairy, beans and lentils, certain fruits and vegetables like garlic, onion, broccoli, cabbage, apples, things like that. So as you can see, it can be quite restrictive and it's limiting a lot of healthy foods. So these are diets that you don't want to self-prescribe, and ideally you aren't doing longer than 6 months, because you likely, if you have SIBO, you likely already have nutrient deficiencies. We don't want to worsen that, right? We're using this very temporarily as a healing tool, not as a long-term solution. So a lot of people find that when they do a low FODMAP diet on their own, yes, they feel so much better. Finally, they have relief. So they're thinking, okay, I guess I just have to stay on this diet, because they don't understand the science behind it, right? But what you're doing is you're starving your body of the fibers and the things that it needs to keep a healthy gut. So let's kind of dive into how these FODMAP foods help keep a healthy gut. But first, I want to talk about two other kind of dietary things. So the next one is a low histamine diet. So sometimes in clients that have autoimmune issues, a lot of allergies, they might have trouble with foods that are higher in histamine. And a lot of people with SIBO have issues with histamine. Maybe they never had allergies before, and all of a sudden they feel like they're reacting to everything. And this is because there's an enzyme in your gut called DAO that is produced by healthy bacteria. So if you don't have enough of that healthy bacteria, you're not going to have enough of this enzyme, which breaks down histamine. You do need histamine in your body. It serves many purposes. But think of it as a bucket, a histamine bucket. And, you know, usually you have maybe, you say about a quarter of the bucket is full of your normal bodily histamine. Then maybe you have seasonal allergies. You go outside, you start sneezing. So your histamine bucket is now half full. Then you eat some aged cheese or some sauerkraut or something that's fermented, which is very high in histamine. And now all of a sudden your bucket is overflowing and you're having a sneeze attack. Your eyes are itchy. Your brain is foggy. You're tired. That your body has too much histamine at that point and it can't break it down. So this is very common in people with SIBO. So sometimes we do a temporary low histamine diet, which also can be quite restrictive. So in order to not overwhelm people, especially if we're also doing low FODMAP or gluten-free, I tell them to only avoid the really high histamine foods. So that's things that are aged, cured, or fermented. So aged cheeses, smoked meats, yogurts, kimchi, sauerkraut, and leftovers older than 24 to 48 hours. Alcohol as well, unfortunately, especially wine and beer. Those are the highest ones. And then the third dietary change that I sometimes make with people is called paleo. And paleo eating is gluten-free, dairy-free, but actually grain-free as well. Now, this is only usually necessary in people that have extreme dysbiosis and or an autoimmune condition. A lot of people with autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, rheumatoid arthritis, celiac disease, Crohn's and colitis, they don't tolerate grains very well. Grains can feel very inflammatory for them. We won't dive into the science of that, but just knowing that these people don't tolerate grains well. So ideally, the goal is to bring the grains back in. But first, we have to go through this four-step protocol before we try to reintroduce the grains. So back to where we were with that third stage of repair. In this stage, we have to repair the gut in terms of the gut lining, but we also have to make sure while we're doing this work that you have optimal motility. And I should have brought this up at the beginning because I always say to people, if they come to me constipated, we can't start this four-step protocol until they are having regular poops. That means at least once per day, ideally effortless poops. And so oftentimes this means giving them high-dose magnesium, extra fibers that they do tolerate, like ground flax, doing castor oil packs, many things that we can do to increase that, the constipation or increase the bowel movements. And one of the causes for constipation, and one of the most common causes, is chronic stress. Like I said, that stress is shutting down digestion. So that includes stomach acid production and what's called peristalsis. So those contractions of the gut that push your stool along. Obviously, we can't avoid stress, but we can do things and add practices to our day that help us to manage stress and spend more time in a relaxed state. So in our nervous system, when we think of being stressed, that is a sympathetic nervous system state where we feel edgy and stressed, right? The healing happens when it comes to any kind of healing. Healing is happening when we are in a relaxed nervous system state called parasympathetic. Excuse me. And that is when our nervous system is in a calm, relaxed state, optimal digestion is happening, and our body can focus on resting and repairing. Okay, so the more we do practices like meditation, deep breathing, yoga, anything that calms your body and your nervous system, even just walking or being in nature, cuddling a pet, You're shifting your nervous system into that state where the healing can happen. And this is one of the biggest things that people get stuck on when they fixate on diet and supplements for their SIBO, and they don't consider the fact how much impact stress is having on their body or their ability to heal. So motility wise, in terms of having a regular bowel movement, we have to have that active or that relaxed nervous system state in order to have a good bowel movement. And that's where something like deep breathing, you know, that actually stimulates the vagus nerve, which runs from your brain and all through your body, but brain to the gut. And when that's stimulated, that allows for optimal digestion. A lot of people find that even just doing 3 deep breaths where they're breathing into their belly, you'll feel like these gurgles and you'll feel your digestive system kicking in. Okay, so that's your parasympathetic nervous system, and you're activating the vagus nerve and allowing your gut to do what it's supposed to do. So the next part here is healing the gut lining or leaky gut. So this is where we have to make sure that we're continuing to avoid things that are irritants, so things like painkillers, but we're also bringing in gut healing foods. So something that's really common that people often use is bone broth. If you are someone who does eat meat, making a bone broth can be extremely healing and nourishing to your gut lining because it breaks down the bones, including the cartilage, which is high in collagen and other amino acids, which repairs your gut lining. So when we talk about leaky gut, if you're thinking about bricks lined up next to each other, you know, a nice healthy gut is a bunch of bricks real tight together. They're not cemented, but they're tight together and very few things can leak through. But when we have a damaged gut, the space between the bricks is larger and things are leaking through. And that's when we start to develop food sensitivities and chronic inflammation and brain fog, right? So the idea is to push those bricks nice and tight together and heal them up and keep them healthy. Now, how do we do this? So obviously part of it is killing off the bad bacteria that's causing inflammation, bringing in gut healing foods like bone broth, but also other foods that are easy to digest and bring down inflammation. And I often use supplements in this phase, including something like glutamine and other demulcent herbs, which coat and heal the gut. So very specific, usually these are powders. And especially for those people who are vegan, who can't have things like bone broth, these powder supplements are very, very important to kind of nourish, coat, and heal the gut lining. And then we also have to, at this phase, optimize the functioning of the liver and gallbladder as part of that optimal bile flow, right? So remembering that bile and stomach acid both have to be optimized because those are our ones that keep bacteria in check. So even if we're actively killing off that bacteria in the small intestine with our supplements, if we don't have that stomach acid and bile, it's just going to keep coming back, right? So optimizing that with supplements and dietary changes as well. Okay, so then the final stage is restoring. So we're restoring bowel function, obviously, but we're doing that by balancing out the microbiome and balancing the immune system and nervous system. So all of these things have to be focused on at the same phase in this healing journey. Now, you may think, okay, if we're bringing in, you know, trying to heal the gut, we need to bring in more healthy bacteria like a probiotic. And while probiotics can be very helpful and are great at modulating the immune system, you know, helping with your mental health, helping heal the gut, bringing down inflammation, probiotics are temporary in the gut. They stay up to 14 days. So the real goal of this phase is to give your body the right fibers and diversity of fibers to grow your own healthy bacteria, because we know that probiotics are temporary. The only way to permanently colonize the gut with an external bacteria is with a fecal transplant. And that, unfortunately, is not a thing in Canada yet, other than clinical studies. Hopefully one day it'll be more available, but knowing that we need to instead focus on fiber and reintroducing a lot more variety of foods to support your own growth of healthy bacteria. So you're growing your own guys. You're not just using the probiotics, right? And again, I may use specific probiotics in this phase, depending on what you're dealing with. So there are specific ones that help to repair leaky gut. There are specific ones that help with mental health. There are strains that help with blood sugar and metabolism. There's so many different things that these probiotics can do and are a great support tool temporarily, but ideally we're working on building your own. And when you think of this microbiome as an ecosystem, the goal is to, in like any ecosystem, you want as much diversity as possible. And like any ecosystem in nature, each thing that is living there eats a different food, right? So if you think of, you have hundreds or even thousands in some healthy people of different types of microbes in your gut, and they all eat different food, that food being fiber, right? So we need to have as much diversity of different types of fibers from fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, and whole grains to feed and support the growth of many different types of bacteria in our gut, because they all do different things. They support us in many different ways, and we need that diversity. So if there's one thing I can say in terms of working on SIBO and treating SIBO, it's that you need to work with a practitioner that knows what they're doing. You need to test for it, and you need to work with a practitioner to have that ongoing support and guidance, because it won't be overnight. You are going to hit roadblocks, and you are going to have to make constant adjustments to your diet, supplements, and lifestyle in order to really make progress. But when you're working with an experienced practitioner like myself, they know what they're doing. They know that they need to cover all the bases, right? So not just diet and supplements, but also working on your immune system, your nervous system, your mental health, your sleep, your stress management habits. Are you getting that social support and connection? All of these things affect your ability to heal and determine whether, like, how fast you're going to heal, but also will you fully heal or will you keep having remission of symptoms, right? So in people that do this on their own or don't work with an experienced practitioner, something like SIBO, like any chronic condition, can easily come back. So they might feel that they've, you know, healed and they're feeling better for 6 months or a year, but then a stressful situation happens and they're back at square one. So this is very much where I encourage patients or clients to build these foundational healthy habits, like things like deep breathing and, you know, regular bedtimes and stress management and support systems, because these are the habits that are going to keep you moving forward and continuously healing rather than having a lot of setbacks and getting back to square one, right? You want to keep continuously moving forward because healing does take time and it is hard and messy and you will have setbacks. But if you have those foundational habits down, it's going to be that much faster and it's going to be that much easier to bounce back when life happens. So that's it for this episode. I hope you guys really enjoyed learning about SIBO, the most common cause of IBS, and how I work with clients to heal their SIBO. Again, it does take at least 3 months, sometimes longer. So I put together a 3-month package to support clients and help them save money because it's actually bundled and it's less per session when it's bundled. So I put together that package. If you want to learn more about what's included in that package and how that can help keep you accountable, that package also includes free access to my online program, the Fix Your Gut Formula, which has many resources to support you on your journey, including masterclasses, recipe collections, a course, a mini course with video modules to learn more about your body and how to heal, as well as access to my Fix Your Gut Collective group. So if that's something that you find interesting and you really want to, you know, fast forward your gut healing journey and be able to eat more foods again, get your energy back, feel yourself, you know, get rid of the bloating and the brain fog and actually feel focused, sharp, and happy again, highly recommend you book with me. And if you're not sure whether you want to do the package or you just want to do kind of single sessions, totally up to you. Book a discovery session and we can talk about your options. That's it for me. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you found it helpful and make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. If you really love the show, be sure to share the episode on social or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. If you're a longtime listener, you know what's up. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast with more science-based, digestible strategies for root cause gut healing so you can get your life back and enjoy food again. Chat soon.